What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Thursday, July 26, 2018. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the rogue one, Gary Witta.
Witta Thursday.
Witta Thursday.
Reminds me of the old Thursday night throwdowns on Giant Bomb that I used to participate in.
Good times. The old days. 10 years for Giant Bomb. Did you see that last week?
I know, and good for them as well. I think that alongside Kinda Funny,
yeah.
Giant Bomb is probably my favorite site stroke community on the internet.
Thank you. That means a lot to us. Thank you so much. I love the fact that they were doing Giant Bomb, the crowdfunding game. You know, I mean, like, thinking of a different way to take games enthusiast press long before us, right? 10 years ago.
Are you a
Giant
Bomb fan?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I love what they do. I love Brad and Jeff and all those guys.
Yeah. I mean, I got snubbed this year for the E3 show.
Oh, you did?
Bullshit.
Alex.
But didn't you have your own show?
It doesn't matter that I'm on the internet somewhere else. I'm just saying, Alex, we got to switch up personalities this year.
Well, next time, maybe reach out and consider doing a thing where they come on your show and you go on theirs.
Do a little cultural
exchange.
Now what's going to happen is next year, I'm going for the Jugular at E3 and I'm doing my own nightly show.
You should.
No, I shouldn't. No, I don't want to do that.
You counter program Giant Bomb? Get into a war?
I mean, if somebody's going to pay, we'll do it. But other than that, you know what I'm saying? Nah, we love Giant Bomb so much. They're great.
I very much enjoy their nightly shows at E3.
I'd love to
get like a Wayne's World kind of vibe that I like about it.
And that's, I mean, like our whole shtick right every day here. And that's the thing is I'd love to get them in more for these kind of shows. But they in SF run such a cool swing crew where they work from home, then they come in just to do the podcast and stuff, then they get out. Like, it's, I always feel bad like making Jeff come all the way from his home all the way to San Francisco.
Has Jeff ever been on Kinda Funny?
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's been on.
He's great.
We bring him a Game Over Greggy a lot, usually. That's where we put him. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You've had Brad on here? Brad's good, too.
Kevin, we've had Brad on, haven't we? I want to say we have.
Brad
Shoemaker.
Yeah, he's great.
This guy makes shoes?
No, he doesn't. What? No, no, that's not how it works. Dan Riker comes on a lot.
That's where a lot of names come from, though.
I think we terrify Abby. She won't come by. You know what I mean?
Oh, she won't?
Yeah. Klepek, he had a no-compete clause when he was there, but now that he's out, we bring him in once in a while.
Right, when he's in town.
Exactly.
Where is he now? He's at Vice, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Waypoint.
Yeah.
Which is part of the Vice universe.
Yeah, of course.
The Vice,
the Vice Cinematic universe is where that is. If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a million different platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show, kindafunny.com/KFGD, with your questions, comments, concerns, and everything under the video game sun. Then, of course, watch us record it live on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. If you're watching live, you have a special job. Go to kindafunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up, so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindafunnygames and listening on podcast services around the globe. Housekeeping for you today. It's still Party Mode week. Go watch Party Mode on youtube.com/kindafunnygames. It's a show we love, and it's only a YouTube video. We know that thousands upon thousands of you just listen to us as audio podcasts. We'd love it if you went and checked out one of our video shows, a solely video show. Today I'm suggesting Overcooked 2, which has a platinum, we found out recently on the trophy lists.
All PlayStation games don't necessarily have platinums.
Yeah, a lot of people are stupid. And Sony's like, hey, you don't need a platinum. And they're like, oh, okay. And then it's like, no, that was a dumb move.
So at the developer's discretion if they put a platinum in?
It's yes, no. What it'll be is if it's a small game like Overcooked 1, they'll, you know, submit. And, well, PlayStation's going to send it back and say, hey, we need your trophy list. And they'll usually say, you're a small game, you don't get a platinum. And they're not paying attention to that matters. And then they submit the trophies, nobody cares. But if you get that and you're in the know, and you go, wait a second, we don't have a platinum, we want a platinum. Hey, PlayStation, give us a platinum. They usually go, oh, okay.
Okay.
It's just one of those things. There's some stupid rule over there that nobody's paying attention to. And
right. Understood. Interesting.
Then next week, of course, is Kinda Funny summer break. That means no Kinda Funny morning show, no Kinda Funny games daily next week. We will be recording a whole bunch of XCUs and reviews, party modes, getting ahead of stuff. Still get the Game Over Greggy show, still get the games cast, still get party mode. But none of the usual daily content, because then we're going off to RTX. You can go to kindafunny.com/RTX, find out about our panels, our autograph sections, and the debut of the Rooster Teeth documentary about Nick's comedy career. And then, of course, today's sponsor is Hims and MeUndies, but I'll talk about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news! Three items on the Roper Report.
A Baker's Dozen!
Number one, be careful out there in No Man's Sky, everybody. No Man's Sky Next has a bug that apparently is eating some saves. This is from Gita Jackson over at Kotaku. She writes about this and says, some players across all platforms are finding that when they try to load their game, if you've played No Man's Sky before, they'll see their hours played logged correctly. But their save will start at the beginning of the game, meaning they've lost all their progress. Loading from a previous autosave or manual save from the affected game doesn't appear to resolve the issue. The article was then updated, 10:33 a.m. Hello Games has said that hotfix patches are incoming for PC, though updates for PlayStation and Xbox will be slower. So, if you plan on jumping in to No Man's Sky next this weekend or tonight or whenever, make sure you back up your save. Over there, Gita on Kotaku was talking about that they were able to replicate the problem, and one of their people at Kotaku, you know, backed up their save already from PC, and there's a weird way to go in and fix it for PC, but of course that doesn't help you if it's happening on PlayStation.
That's one of the worst things that can happen to a gamer, isn't it? Losing your save, especially 100%. If you've got hundreds of hours in. Can you imagine?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Playing like Octopath Traveler right now, being, you know, so in love with it, getting more and more love every hour. I'm sitting there waiting for Nintendo to give me those cloud saves because I'm playing it on
the cloud saves. And my kid walks around with the Switch and drops it all the time. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, oh my God, if that thing breaks and doesn't turn back on.
Yeah.
We've lost a lot of good stuff.
Yeah. Although when you lose a save, that's a heartbreaker.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, because we have an SD card in there. I wonder if a lot of the saves might actually be on the SD card or if they're on the actual Switch itself.
I think they're on the Switch. Kevin, can you?
I think most annoyingly, if you've got a cartridge like Zelda, they're on the cartridge.
Oh, well, that's okay, because
if you give the cartridge to a friend to play the game, your saves are gone forever. Like I had
Well,
to
don't leave. Give your cartridges to friends would be
I
the
I had to give it to
lesson.
Kev. Kev wanted to play. I wanted to let him play, you know? My Zelda save gone. But when was I ever going back to Zelda?
I was very paranoid about my Persona 5 save. Every time I saved, I would save locally and do the cloud save as well, because I did not want to lose. Once you've got like 100 hours into a game, you don't want to lose it. So that's horrible. What a horrible bug. I hope they fix that very quickly.
I'm sure they will. Of course, No Man's Sky next doing a bunch of different things. But right now, Zach Wager wants to take Gary Whitta to task.
Wait,
he wrote in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD. You said the magic word, motherfucker.
It's
you pushed
ambush.
The ticket. Enjoy the ride.
What did they say?
Hey, guys, it's Whitta Thursday and Kratos voice. Boy, I have a question that fits. What are the chances of that Persona 5 spoiler cast happening? What are the current status of both Joey and Gary on Persona 5? Would there be more people joining in the spoiler discussion? One Jared Petty, whose angry voice is now the standard at Kinda Funny. Seriously, he absolutely crushed it yesterday. Diddy Kong, watch out. Or one IGN employee whose love for Persona goes unnoticed only because of his Pokemon Go knowledge prevailing on KFGD. I just asked because I'm on my second playthrough with the Platinum in sight, and next week, being all about stockpiling episodes of Kinda Funny, here's the Hail Mary for a discussion on Persona 5 from people whose opinions I want to hear. If not, well then I hope the chicken has had enough and retaliates Legend of Zelda style. Enjoy Kinda Funny summer break. Zach.
Did you ever meet this?
You were all talk about it?
No, well look, so I get Joey and I get asked constantly if we're ever going to do a Persona 5
spoiler cast. Yeah, yeah.
And I'd love to do it. Here's the problem.
Yeah.
What's that?
Just do it then.
Here's the problem.
Kevin pokes you with a stick.
He's a little bit salty today.
Oh, he's always salty over there.
What's going on? Got at the wrong side of the bed this morning. Here's the problem. I haven't finished it. And even though I have like 100 hours in, the end is still not in sight. It's a monster of a game.
Yeah.
And what I recently found out from Joey, I said I didn't want any spoilers, but she gave me a little bit of a look ahead. The final mind, and I'm not going to spoil it for anyone here, I'll say this in very vague terms.
Sure.
The final palace that you have to go into is my least favorite section of the game.
Mm.
So in order to finish it, I not only have to put a lot more hours in, and, you know, I am about three quarters of the way through the game. I should really finish it at this point. It's my favorite game on the PlayStation 4 so far.
Nice.
So I should really finish it. But I'm going to have to grind through this last. I feel like the last section is going to be a bit of an uphill struggle. So two options. I will finish it, but we're going to have to wait for me to finish it. Or I'll come on and do the spoiler cast whenever and happily talk about my three-quarter impressions of the game, but I won't be all the way through to the end.
Gotcha.
Oh, and boy, I'll happily submit myself to any
Joey,
spoilers.
Get on that shock mic. We're discussing content over here. Kevin, can I get the shock mic brought up?
Joey!
I don't know what that was.
What are our options, Joey? What do you want to do?
We have a few options. I feel like I missed part of the conversation. You don't really want to finish it, correct?
Well, I do, but you told me that the last part of the game is the part of the game that I already told you I don't like, and I just don't want to have to subject myself to that.
Yeah.
So I kind of petered out a little bit. I do really want to finish it. The question is, do I have to finish it to be on the spoiler cast? Because I'd be willing to come on having played the game I know the game very well. I've played almost all of it. I could come on the spoiler cast and talk about almost all of it. I just wouldn't have finished it. Is it a prerequisite to have finished the game? We're kind of funny.
We can do whatever we want.
Yeah, I don't care.
Yeah, you don't care.
I'll come on any time and talk about my sections.
You get Goldie in here.
I
text, you do with
I
him,
haven't
yeah.
heard. I'm talking with him, talking with a couple other people. See, maybe we can do Christine Steimer from What's Good Game.
Oh, yeah, I know her. I've heard her.
She's down to maybe talk about it, too.
If you do it, here's the thing. I will be annoyed if you do a Persona 4 spoiler cast without me.
Okay.
But I don't want to hold you up. That's why I'm saying I'm willing to come on having not finished the game. And I'll get back into it.
Yeah.
If you say like we're going to do the podcast in a couple of weeks, I will get back into it and get myself refreshed and as up to date as I can. But I don't think I will have had time to finish it because the game is massive.
Yeah, it's a lot.
It was so amazing to me and almost kind of depressing when we first had that conversation when I said to Joey or someone else who had played it, oh, I'm about 70 hours in and here's where I am. Here's the palace that I'm on. And I expected it to be near the end. 70 hours.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And somebody said, oh, yeah, you're maybe kind of sort of halfway. I'm like, what? Halfway? How big is this game? Yeah. It's massive.
Yeah.
It's massive.
I feel like at about that point, a lot of people drop it down to like the super easy mode. And like,
I started in super easy mode.
There you go. That works too. How does the one that you like can't change?
Yes, I'm a content tourist. I just want to blast through the game. So I can lose a battle, but I just get to redo it.
Yeah.
And I've only ever lost a couple of battles because then at that level, they're not difficult at all.
Yeah.
And I just want the story. I like being in the palaces, but I enjoy wandering around.
Alternatively, the
city.
You could just watch the Persona 5 anime.
I could do that.
Get the end of it.
No, yeah, that's out. Is that on like Crunchyroll or something? How do I find that?
Yeah, it's out somewhere. Kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. You can tell us.
Yeah. Okay. So that's another.
Is that a Rez t-shirt?
It is.
That's amazing. I love that. Rez is one of my favorite games.
Did you play it on PlayStation VR?
Rez Infinite? No, I played it on Oculus Rift. Same thing. Yeah, VR. Fantastic. And for that reason, I'm very excited about Tetris Effect. My most anticipated game.
I can't wait.
Cannot wait to play it.
All right, Joey, get on the phone. Book Steimer, book Goldfarb. Get it going.
Would I be on that?
Yeah, you live down the street. That's easy. Yeah. They don't need to book you.
That's the only reason to have me.
We throw up the Gary Whitta signal. Just a little cup of tea.
Yeah, I mean, you threw up the signal the other day. I was hearing like 15 minutes.
If you want
to
catch him.
Don't get too used to that, by the way.
Post show on the Game Over Greggy show. Why, you moving? Post show on the Game Over Greggy show that goes up tomorrow. Patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Or no.
So we will do it. The short answer is we will definitely do
it. It's happening. It's going to happen. Get excited, Zach and everybody else. When? Who the hell knows? Definitely not for next week. Number two. Oh, yeah. No Man's Sky. Be careful with your save. Number two on the Roper Report. This is an interesting one. It's a slow news day, but I thought this is an interesting one, Gary. I'd like your opinion on. Have you heard of the game Dead Cells?
I don't think I have.
It's this cool Castlevania, like roguelike thing that I played on Switch
like a
2D while back.
Castlevania?
Yeah, yeah. It's awesome. It's really fun. The Dead Cells dev are getting some press right now from a Kotaku article where they're talking about everybody gets paid equally. There are no bosses. Everyone in the studio of like 11 people gets paid equally.
Okay. Here's so it's like a cooperative.
Exactly. Here's where I'm going to pull some stuff from. All right. Quote, we actually just use a super basic formula. If a project finds success, people are basically paid more in bonuses and everyone is paid the absolute same way, said longtime Motion Twin. This is the developer, game designer, Sebastian Bernard in an email. Quote, oh, and I'm sorry too. I put down at Kotaku. I'm not sure who wrote this one. And Kevin stepped away, but we'll eventually get it. The devs and the artists are paid the same amount of money, and people like me who have been here for 17 years are paid the same amount as people who were recruited last year. It seems to be working. Motion Twin has been in business for nearly 2 decades, and the studio's most recent game, Dead Cells, has sold more than 700,000 units on PC alone before leaving early access and coming to Switch and I think everything else really soon. Motion Twin's pay and ownership system, Bernard said, constitutes a direct challenge, not just to the exploitive practices you see at a lot of other companies, but also to tired old world corporate structures in general, end quote. Games are team projects, after all, and Bernard believes that it's almost impossible for anybody to definitively declare that their particular contribution of blood, sweat, and tears had more of an impact than anybody else's. Bernard would not disclose the exact salary of everybody at Motion Twin that everybody at Motion Twin brings home, but said it's roughly the same as in other game companies before bonuses. Gary, how's that strike you as a creative type?
Goddamn hippies. No, look, if it works for them financially, then if they found a model that works and seems equitable, I mean, it's truly what it is, equitable, right?
Yeah,
More power to them. That's great.
Okay.
I mean, I could see how there might be some resentment if one guy over in the corner there who like adjusts one pixel is getting paid as someone who's actually doing way more work.
Sure.
But it sounds like
a team that small is probably not happening,
right? There's always going to be some variation. Like, I could see how you could accidentally breed resentment with someone saying, it's kind of like when when the time comes to like split the check. Well, I didn't drink the wine. Why am I paying as much as everyone else?
Yeah.
I only had the salad.
Yeah.
But I think if everyone's on board with it and everyone is roughly kind of sort of doing the same amount of work, why not?
Yeah, it's a cool idea. And I think
some companies, it's a sackable offense to talk about how much you're paid because it is such a sensitive issue.
Sure.
So if it's just out there in the open, everyone gets paid the same. Maybe that does help foster a team dynamic, a team spirit.
You would think so, right? The collaborative nature of video games or any creative enterprise, having everyone there.
Yeah.
It's just for me, like, and I don't know, I've never made a video game. Obviously, you've been on the inside of studios before doing story stuff. I find it interesting, the no bosses, the no thing. And like, granted, again, it's a smaller team. Dead Cells is a smaller, cool game that everybody should check out. I'm really excited for it.
Yeah.
It's just interesting. I wonder how milestones are getting done and everybody keeping track of each other and keeping everybody on
work
task.
Work is a very, very, I mean, outside of the actual scientific definition of work is a very hard thing to quantify. Like, who's working harder than someone else? You know, and it is difficult because on a film set, or in a video game developer's office, everyone has very, very different disciplines and very different styles of working. And sometimes sitting around is what, you know, it's like, sure. It's like the moment in Mad Men where Don Draper gives the tour of the office and there's a bunch of people in the creative bullpen just goofing around.
Yeah.
And
that's still part of it for
and,
them.
And
right?
Draper said, "You don't get it. That's what the work looks like. That's how you get to the good stuff."
Yeah, I always
and
feel
so
bad.
It's not
when
always
I'm,
apparent what work looks like
when I'm, but, you know, when I'm playing something at my desk or whatever, and I see Tim over there doing a bunch of businessy stuff that I don't know. I don't have no idea how to do it right, but it's also my job to play games and know something about something. And I don't know well.
Okay.
Lord of Pwn writes in and says, Nathan Grayson over at Kotaku wrote the article here about Dead Cells and all that stuff. And then also, according to Savona Moon, the Persona 5 anime is on Hulu.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Oh, I have Hulu. I will totally watch that.
And then Cameron Abbott says it's also on Crunchyroll. So it seems like you got all sorts of options. You got all sorts of options.
Literally right now as we speak, I'm going
to
add it.
Good. Get on it. Number 3 on the Roper Report. This is an easy one. You can pre-order Nintendo's online service right now.
Ooh.
According to Seth Macy at IGN. Why? Here's Seth. Well, hang on. Seth writes over at IGN, a 12-month Nintendo Switch online subscription is available for $20 at Amazon right now, while the 3-month Nintendo Switch online subscription is available for $7.99.
So you save money if you order it now. That's the
product,
point, right?
No, I don't think so. The product page says Amazon will email you once the service has been available.
Look at that. I just did it. Added.
Boom. Look at that. That's how the,
added.
You're wrong.
Persona
the power
5,
of technology
the animation
works.
Has just been added to my watch list.
It's always been $20 for a year. It's just, you can pre-order this thing right now, but it's like, why wouldn't I just, when it finally comes, I'll turn on my Switch eShop and get it there. Just be done with
do
it.
Do we, so there's no bonus, there's no point to pre-ordering?
Not that I'm seeing unless
just
I'm
like
stupid.
Just kind of like out of excitement, though.
You're just getting
like,
close.
I put the Tesla,
you're getting close.
I don't get my Tesla for like another 3 weeks. I already put the app on my phone just because I want to be excited about it.
Sure,
so
sure, sure,
something
sure.
You can do.
You can't.
You want to get ahead of the game. Yeah. You want to be excited.
Which kind of crazy Tesla did you get?
I got a Model X.
Which one's that?
It's the SUV.
Oh, nice. Okay, cool.
So it's, yeah, like I said, the practical midlife crisis vehicle.
Sure, of course, yeah.
I get to have my midlife crisis, and there's plenty of room in the back for the kids.
Exactly. They can come along for the ride.
Yeah, that's right.
We're going on this one. Yeah.
We're going to drive over a cliff, kids.
Let's see how this
Daddy's
one ends.
Finally snapped.
One tear rolling down your eyes. Like, you go.
I'm sorry I got to take you with me, but it's the best for all of us. Trust
you
me.
You have to understand.
We do everything together as a family. We live together, eat together, drive over a cliff together, and are dashed on the rocks below. Sorry, this is getting kind of dark.
It is, yeah. I guess it went
video games.
Yeah, so are
I
you,
love video games.
You're all in on Nintendo's online service.
Well, how much do we really know about it at this
it's
point?
It's launching in September. It's got the, you know, classic games you can play or whatever in a Netflix-like
model
or whatever.
Yeah.
It'll allow you to play games online. Will I still feel
it,
like
will
it's
it
very
give us,
eerie.
Will it give us the cloud saves and will it allow...
It will give us cloud saves. That's correct. That's a big part.
Will it allow me to buy a second Switch and play my same games on it?
I believe that's correct, right?
Like I can do on every other console platform?
Yeah.
I'm in.
Yeah. No, cloud saves, I think, are the biggest part for me. Just like protecting my stuff and getting it out there. And being
I want the cloud saves.
$20
I want to have a second Switch, but I want to have the same, because all my games are digital downloads.
Sure,
so I want to be able to pick up the same games and play, pick up where I left off.
Yeah.
But I'm very excited about the Nintendo Flicks of it all.
Yeah.
And playing, you know, classic games. Because I think, isn't the thing you can play classic games online cooperatively and stuff like that?
I think, yeah, they're adding in some of that functionality.
You can play
the
Mario
servers.
Brothers, two players, and you and I could play across a link or something.
Sure, probably, maybe.
It's
I
the
don't
future.
Know. They've done such a bad roll out of this where it was like, we announced it's kind of coming. We've delayed it. Here's this random day where we dropped a bunch of information on it, and then we still don't have a release date for September. Bye.
Do they have a September date, or are they just saying September?
September.
Sometime in September.
Yeah. Do unless I'm wrong,
remember?
And I'm looking.
You know that one? Earth, Wind, and Fire?
September.
That's right.
I have something to remember.
You got it.
we may not have a release date
for the Nintendo.
Yeah. They don't make jams like that anymore.
They don't.
You know what I mean?
That's why we have to listen to the old stuff, because the new stuff's no good.
It's true. Cool, Greg. Yeah. Is Earth, Wind, and Fire a slap?
Hell yeah.
Although my kid's doing a little kid hip-hop dancing class right now, okay. And they played a song on there, and I could have sworn it was an old Bobby Brown 90s track, but it wasn't. It was this Bruno Mars track called Finesse.
Okay.
But it sounds just like an old Bobby Brown. I guess Bruno Mars, that's kind of his vibe, right? He does a lot of throwback kind of sound.
I guess, yeah. I mean, I've heard Bruno Mars once or twice. I enjoyed him. I saw him at the Super Bowl that one time. I was like, that's good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Were you actually at the Super Bowl or just
TV? I was watching on TV.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah, the old stuff's generally better than the new stuff, which is why we have to keep listening to the old stuff. Exactly. And this is why in every walk of life, we were just talking about how excited we are to play the old video games.
Yeah.
Because they're still the ones we love.
But there's always something new coming out, whether it be music or games. Gary, if I wanted to know what games came to the mom and grop shops today, where would I go?
Not your best segue.
You know what? It's because you interrupted in the middle of it. I was going somewhere. I was on the tracks.
Sorry. That is my bad. That would be the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday. Holy shit, it's a long list.
Yeah.
I want to suggest something. Yeah. When Jared and I hosted, it was when Tim and I hosted. Right. It was a very short list.
Yeah.
And a couple of the games that we were intrigued by, the titles, but we didn't know what they were.
Right.
We kind of ran the trailers on the show to kind of figure out. Yeah. I'm not suggesting we do it right now, but when you've got a short list and a couple of games, because the games had like really weird names. And like, pull up the trailer. I want to see what the hell that is. And it was kind of fun to discover the game live. As we did the show.
So two things. Number one, you said, wow, a lot of games. This is what Thursday is every Thursday, because Nintendo releases a million. You only know Wednesdays.
I'm usually here on a Wednesday.
Tuesday is a big day. Thursday is a bigger day because of Nintendo.
I'm usually here on the dead days.
Wednesday, you're here on the dead day. And then also, as clearly you don't watch the show, we stole that idea and have been doing that.
Oh, you have?
Every day we go through and we're like, all right, guess what this game is. We all guess and then we look at the trailer for it.
You should know by now I only watch the show I'm on it.
That's fine.
If it's someone
I'll take the view from anybody.
I possibly be interested?
Exactly. What is Jared Petty going to say?
So
that you
have
care
been
about?
Running with that?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So we'll try to pick one from here and figure out which one.
Yeah, there's one that's
is Thursday, so I'm eventually going to get into a rock block of Nintendo Switch where I stop saying platforms because guess what? It's coming in Nintendo Switch. Banner Saga 3 comes to PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC.
I know what that is.
The Banner Saga Trilogy comes to PS4 and Xbox One. Candle, The Power of Flame comes to Switch. Crossing Souls comes to Switch. Game Tengoku Cruisin' Mix comes to PlayStation 4. Gnome's Garden 3 comes to PlayStation 4. That's right, 3. Sea of Memories comes to PlayStation 4. Now let's get into your rock block of Switch stuff. Pixel Lines DX 500 More Puzzles. Sleep Tight. Eero Hero. ACA Neo Geo The King of Fighters 97. Arcade Archives Omega Fighter. Arcade Archives Sky Skipper. You can hear Jared Petty's review, of course, on the Kind of Funny Gamescast. It'll go live tomorrow on Patreon. Bud Spencer and Terrence Hill, Slaps and Beans. Pure / Electric Love, Everyone Else, Emma Sakura. Pure / Electric Love, Look at My Eyes, Mo Yamayuchi. Zachariah Pinball. And then finally on the 3DS, RTO 3.
Now, I noticed, I don't know if these are part of it, but I noticed the other day when I was browsing through the eShop that looks like this stuff that almost kind of looks like these Japanese porn games.
Yes.
Is that what this is a part
that
of?
That is what Pure Electric Love, Look at My Eyes is. And
so
I only know
they're
this
obviously not porn because it's on Nintendo, but it looks a little bit racy.
Cool, Greg.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with how to bring up a trailer and let us watch it here? Is that beyond your
style?
Huh? Yeah, morning show style. Yeah, exactly. All right, I need to.
Because there's a couple here that we
Google
want to investigate.
Google Pure / Electric Love, Look at My Eyes, Mo Yamamo. You can just copy it from the doc.
Are these real people? Emma Sakura and Mo Yamamo?
Click on the Nintendo Switch one. Perfect. I got to walk Cool Greg through it. And then, click on. Yeah, that one's fine.
Oh, it's a fetish game on the.
No, that's not getting ahead of yourself. Mute it. Yeah, there you go. And then pull it up picture in picture.
This is 5 minutes of gameplay.
We're looking at Blazing Z Gamer's rundown of Pure Electric Love.
He's going to play the game for us here.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, so there it is on the Switch.
Okay, so that's the.
Just jump into the middle of the video, Cool Greg. Let me see what we got going on here.
Right in.
I know this because Cool Greg.
Okay, so that's a real person.
So we're just talking.
This is in Japan. It's like you can call her on the phone.
Yeah.
Okay. Now she's dressed up like Catwoman of some kind.
That's true. That's correct. Yeah, today Tim was trying to download a game, and
This is all in Japanese.
eShop never changed. Oh, and then we get to see
a little video. Okay.
Okay. Now, if there are trophies attached to this, I'd download them. You know what I mean? But on Switch, I'm not going to waste my time.
I don't know if you want these trophies, my man.
You know what I want? If they're easy, I want them all. This one, watching a video of her talking to a microphone and waving. And that apparently is Pure / Electric Love.
All right.
It seems like...
Okay. So it looks like... I mean, they're never going to get to... you're not going to see like nudity or anything.
I doubt
on
it.
The Nintendo Switch.
No, of course not. Reggie's... Oh, well, hold on.
But I mean, hold on.
Cool,
wait,
Greg, throw
on.
This back up. Cool, Greg, throw this back up.
Hold on a minute. This is
now
definitely...
We've got, now it looks like she's been sending
not,
us some text.
This does not feel like Nintendo content to
some
me.
Texty, some texty... She's picking up stuff. She's I mean, in it's, a I mean, business
it's,
suit.
It's soft core... But no, I mean, nonetheless, I'm surprised to see like this on the Nintendo stocking. Switch.
Sure.
Are you not? Does this not seem kind of out of place
to you? Hey, man, well, this is what happens when Nintendo wants 45 games a week.
It looks like those are unlockables. That yeah. When you complete you the play game, through. You unlock those
As
images.
You play through.
Okay.
Well, Gary, I expect a full review from you on Pure / Electric Love.
My goodness.
What do you want?
Is there anything else on
eyes?
This list that's the title?
I don't think you can get
curious.
Better than that. I don't think we can get better
we,
than that.
We might have peaked.
Yeah, that's for today. New dates for you, though. I got some. Ni No Kuni 2's Revenant Kingdom DLC, or Ni No Kuni 2 Revenant Kingdom. The DLC has been detailed a bit more. Here we go, speaking right from them. The three DLC drops include a free adventure pack launching August 9th, 2018, as well as two larger content drops as outlined in the Ni No Kuni 2 Season Pass, which will be released this winter in early 2019. Adventure Pack DLC number 1 is the one coming in August. It's a new challenge for experienced players. The adventure pack adds additional floors of, or to, the Faraway Forest Cave, two new bosses, Blackheart and Zeta, and new quests will be unlocked after completing the game's story. Then the Season Pass DLC 2, available this winter. This DLC will feature a brand new enigmatic dungeon for players to explore. There's more on that if you want to find it. And then DLC 3, expected to release in 2019. An additional story expansion of Ni No Kuni 2 Revenant Kingdom will be available, and it's full of exciting content. More details to be announced soon. Did you play Ni No Kuni? Did you have any interest in Ni No Kuni?
No, but I have heard good things about it.
I'd heard a lot of good things about the first one. People loved the first one. It seems like the second one came and went.
Much.
Nobody really cared.
Okay. And what's this Surgeon Simulator, CPR?
Surgeon Simulator, CPR, co-op play ready, is coming to Switch this fall. IGN details it as such. The Switch port will contain all the content from the A&E edition, including additional teeth and eye transplants, as well as the alien autopsy mode. It's going to use the Joy-Cons, so you can like screw around and co-op and do that and stuff. Because, you know, Surgeon Simulator all about not being able to control the
anarchy. Yeah, it's like, you know, completely
exactly.
Mad. Yeah.
If you need to see Surgeon Simulator in action, you can go over to kindoffunny.com or youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and check out the PlayStation VR show where Nick played Surgeon Simulator in PlayStation VR and killed many people. Deals of the day for you. Xbox has announced its Games with Gold. You can get Forza Horizon 2 Standard 10th Anniversary Edition, available August 1st through the 31st on Xbox One. For Honor Standard Edition, available August 16th to September 15th on Xbox One. Dead Space 3, available August 1st to the 15th on Xbox One and Xbox 360. And then Disney Epic Mickey 2, The Power of 2, available August 16th to the 31st on Xbox One and Xbox 360 if you are an Xbox Live Gold member.
I had my first experience with backwards compatibility and actually getting something out of it.
Mm.
I had a strange craving. You know how something like you have a strange craving for like a snack or a game? Or just
sure,
something
yeah,
you haven't
yeah. Comfort
in,
food,
or,
yeah.
Just something in a long time, but something like, I don't know why, but I'm just craving this thing.
Yeah.
I was craving Pac-Man
Championship Edition
Hell
DX. Yeah, you were. Hell yeah, you were.
And I thought, but I don't have it anymore. But went into the Xbox One games store.
Game Pass.
Went into the backwards compatibility. I'd already bought it. And it remembered that I had bought it. It was on my account. It's compatible from the 360.
Yeah.
Boom. Into 360 mode, and I'm playing it. So I was like, hey, backwards compatibility. I'm finally getting it.
Championship Edition. What a great game.
What
DX,
a great game.
Are you kidding me? Come
and
on.
I tell you, the version on Switch with two players is fantastic.
Really? I haven't played that one.
You should try it party mode.
Okay.
Pac-Man Championship Edition on Nintendo Switch has a separate two-player component where you have two little Pac-Mens. Pac-Men?
Sure.
Pac-Mans?
I think Pac-Man's a proper noun, so I would say Pac-Mans.
Pac-Man. So you have two Pac-Mans running around the map, gobbling up the dots, and if one gets squished by a ghost, the other one's got like 5 seconds to come.
To revive him?
Revive him, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's cool. Really,
we're doing
worth
a bunch
playing.
Of party modes today.
I highly recommend it.
All right. Cool, Greg.
Yeah.
Make a note for Andy.
Got it.
Time for reader mail, but first I'm going to tell you about our sponsors. Today we're brought to you by Hims. There's a problem. 66% of men lose their hair by age 35, and the thing is, once you start to notice it, it's too late. Do something now with 4hims.com. 4hims.com is a one-stop shop for hair loss, skincare, sexual wellness, and more for men. Thanks to science, baldness can be optional. I see you rubbing your bald spot.
Well, I was just about to say, when you said the thing is when you start to notice hair loss, it's too late, I was going to add, no shit.
Hims connects you with real doctors and medical-grade solutions to treat hair loss. Well, no generic equivalents to name-brand prescriptions to help you keep your hair. You can be just like Nick Scarpino and Andy Cortez on the other side of the wall. They are using 4hims.com.
Lush, lustrous heads of
they
hair.
They went in there, they got the product, they talked to a doctor, they sent in photos, they sent back the products they need to use. Andy is excited for these gummies. They eat gummies now, like gummy bears, but they're like...
Oh, gummy bears for your hair?
Yeah, exactly.
Gummy hairs.
Gummy hairs. These are prescription solutions backed by science. No more waiting rooms, no awkward doctor visits. My listeners get a trial month of Hims for just $5 today, right now, while supplies last. See the website for full details. This would cost hundreds if you went to the doctor or pharmacy. Go to 4hims.com/gamesdaily. That's forhims.com/gamesdaily. 4hims.com/gamesdaily. And then our second sponsor of the day is MeUndies. You've heard me talk a lot about MeUndies. Why? Because they're the only underwear I wear. I ordered my first set of MeUndies, liked them so much, they were so soft and comfortable, Gary, threw away the rest, ordered more MeUndies.
Are you wearing them right now?
Of course I am, Gary. Come on.
You know what?
Unless
I regret the second I said that, I regretted
yourself,
it.
Widow.
The second I said
wearing
that, I regretted
it. Wearing
my
perps today. My perps.
Your parps?
Perps. Purples. Perps? They remind me of Back to the Future when he was wearing purple underwear from a different underwear brand we won't say. MeUndies is amazing. They're comfy. They're great. I seriously, truly love them, and you should too. You can get incredible underwear sent to your door with MeUndies, meaning no more hunting around for the perfect pair at a crowded store and eventually settling for good enough. And if you're already part of the MeUndies fam, tell your friends about it through their referral program. They'll get a discount and you'll get store credit. It's win-win. Still not sure? Well, MeUndies has a deal for you, the listener. First-time purchasers get 15% off their first pair of MeUndies and free shipping. That's 15% off plus free shipping and a guarantee that you and your MeUndies will be very happy together. Get your butt over to MeUndies.com and treat yourself. To get your 15% off your first pair, free shipping, and a 100% satisfaction guarantee, go to MeUndies.com/gamesdaily. That's MeUndies.com/gamesdaily. Gary, where do I want to start?
Here, what do you got?
We're going to start with Adam Northwest, who wrote in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, how can we consider Fortnite Battle Royale for Game of the Year? Hey, Greg and Gary, I have to call into question the eligibility of Fortnite Battle Royale as Game of the Year contender, as discussed yesterday on the show. While I'm personally on the side of the argument that PUBG should not have been considered last year due to it being in early access, an argument I'm not going to go into here, I'm at least willing to concede that it was a game that released in 2017. Cue Angry Greg voice. But Fortnite Battle Royale didn't even come out in 2018. Its official release date was September 26, 2017, meaning it would not even make the cutoff for the Game Awards this year. And Angry Greg voice. Should we also consider No Man's Sky for Game of the Year because of its recent massive update? What about Mega Man X Collection or some other remaster set? I feel that having a best ongoing game category would be more apt for an award for the game to win. But certainly not Game of the Year based purely on principle. Thanks for all you do, Adam Northwest.
I'm inclined to agree.
Yeah. I think there's two schools of thought on it. I think it's the fact that the IGN Greg Miller, the IGN.com executive editor Greg Miller, I still think of, yes, there have. What are the rules for Game of the Years? What are we saying with Game of the Year? Is it that it was released this year? Yes, of course it is. So that's where it's got to be. It's got to fall within these dates.
Well, then case closed, surely.
Well, no. Then I think there's the fact that you and I are both IGN.com Greg Miller and Gary Whitta, video games journalist number two. We're old fogies. We are dinosaurs. This is, I think that...
No argument there.
Exactly. I think that video games have changed so drastically that it's up to every outlet, every site, every internet, every person to just kind of come down to what they think it is. And like he brings up, you know, this best ongoing category, right? That's the way a lot of people are trying to fix it and solve it. But even when I was at IGN, there was discussions of, well, shit, should Dota be considered for Game of the Year, even though it came out whenever the fuck Dota came out, because I'm not a PC dork?
You're kind of talking sense here. I'm surprised. I mean, not that you're
for
talking.
For once, Greg's talking sense on Games Daily.
Here's a classic example. I wish this happened more. When he first laid out the argument there, I was inclined to agree. But you have laid out the counter argument, and that too is compelling. It's not best game. You can make the argument. It's not the best game released in 2018. What's the best game of 2018? And what does that mean?
And to be,
maybe the definition can be a little more fuzzy.
And to be 100% for complete clarity here with the audience, I'm not saying Fortnite should or shouldn't. Yesterday this came up in conversation because I was arguing with myself a little bit.
Yeah.
And so that's where it is of like, when we get to Game of the Year, what is Game of the Year mean to Kind of Funny? I'm not talking about the Game Awards, obviously. We're lucky enough to be on the judging bracket there. Yeah. And Jeff lays out a very clear criteria, and we understand that.
Yeah.
But when we get down to our own thing, like, if I'm going to continue to sink the hours I'm sinking into Fortnite now, and I get to the end of the year, and I've put 300, 500 hours into this thing, and I've played it for 6 months, like, that's... You can't sit there and be like, well, no, that was impressive, but...
I am feeling the argument, because I was going to posit this as a theoretical, but it's kind of what happened. Let's say a game like Fortnite Battle Royale comes out towards the end of 2017. Nobody really pays that much attention to it. They update it. They make it better.
Yeah.
Something happens, like Drake decides to play on Twitch or whatever it is that happens. It blows up. I'm not saying that was Drake was Patient Zero. He wasn't, but he was part of it scaling upwards. And suddenly, all the kids are flocking to Fortnite's yard, and now suddenly everyone's like, is it the year in which the game came out, or was it the year that the game was truly discovered and achieved greatness? Because you could say that Fortnite is the game of 2018, right? It clearly is.
I mean,
you've got World Cup players doing Fortnite celebrations, doing this take the L stuff and the whatever the dance is. I don't play Fortnite, so I'm not an expert.
Yeah,
but clearly 2018 is the year of Fortnite in many ways.
Yeah.
And so maybe there's an argument to be made.
And in here, Adam Northwest calls out the fact, should we consider No Man's Sky for Game of the Year because of its recent massive update?
Well, why not?
Probably. And if you want to go to the mat and argue about it, well, it's a brand new game on Xbox One.
Maybe it's very restrictive to restrict yourself to the calendar date that the game was originally released in.
And this was the same thing we always, at IGN, we had problems with, and I can only speak to when I was there. I don't know how they are doing things now. But of genre awards. You know what I mean? Especially when I was like just starting my career there in 2007, and it was still like a novelty of, man, this game has RPG elements. You know, every game has RPG elements now, obviously, of upgrading, doing this, leveling this up, this skill. But at the time when that was a really unique thing going into shooters and stuff, like, well, can it be considered for RPG of the year? And like, no, of course not. You're ridiculous. But like, why not? Blah, blah. And it's like, what is action adventure versus this? And like, you get, what is it? It was the first person shooter category. But do third person shooters count? Should it just be the shooter category? Or do they go, you know, what Look defines an way. Action game versus an
Look
action
at it this
adventure?
Way. I mean, the argument could be made, and again, I have not played it, but the argument could be made that Fortnite is worthy of some awards because it clearly has captured the public's imagination and people love playing it.
Yeah.
But there is a version where it never, where if you have this very restrictive criteria, it never wins anything because in 2017 it didn't blow up, and so no one paid much attention to it. I don't know what the state of play was like at the end of 2017 with Fortnite, but it's certainly nowhere near as big as it is now.
Yeah.
And so it didn't get, and it wasn't considered for awards in 2017 because people weren't paying that much attention. Then it blows up in 2018. So okay, well, we're not going to consider it because it's just not on the radar. It's not that big a deal. It becomes a big deal in 2018, and then people say, well, you can't consider it this year either because technically it came out last year, so they get screwed.
Yeah.
But the reality is, games have more complicated life cycles than when they just came out on a cartridge.
Now more than ever, right?
They expand, they grow.
When
they
I think of
patched,
games that got
updated.
Screwed over, right? I think of Far Cry 3 at IGN for Game of the Year.
How so?
Mitch was reviewing it. It was a December release. So Mitch was reviewing it, and I think we all needed to have nominations in before we went on break that year or something. Right. And so it was that Mitch Dyer pulled us all into a room, gave a presentation on why Far Cry 3 is awesome and really should be in the running for all this stuff.
I remember it was good.
It was awesome. And we all watched it, and we're like, all right, game looks fine, but whatever. No, it's not going to sway me, blah, blah, blah. And then we did whatever we had to do, went on break, and I came back from break along with a bunch of other IGN editors, and we're like, oh my God, Far Cry 3 is amazing. We totally should have given it more. If I would have had the time to play it, it would have, you know, put it somewhere else.
So in that case, it was a victim of its December release.
Exactly.
Date.
But I don't think that when we then go to the next year, for argument's sake, and I don't, you can kind of find.com/you're wrong. We're just going to call it year A when it actually released versus year B when there was a, you know, 12 months now of brand new games. I don't think we needed to sit there and say, well, Far Cry needs to be in this conversation because again, this brings me back to, I think we've talked about it on the show, you and me, this E3, where it was E3 game of the show, where I was saying on the panel, everybody was voting Cyberpunk, and I'm like, I totally get Cyberpunk, and I'm into Cyberpunk.
Yeah, I remember.
It
just wasn't your cup of tea.
But I'm like, I think Last of Us looked better and looked like a better experience. Like, it was a more polished demo. And Tim's like, I get that, but you love Cyberpunk. And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, also, what's the game of the show? Not what's the best game of the show. What is the game of the show? What is the one everybody's talking about?
When you just say what's the game of the show, that's very open to your own interpretation.
And that's why personally, these are the conversations I love. When we have this kind of conversation about what is game of the year, what is this, blah, blah, blah. Those conversations I love. When it's a top 10 list, I fucking hate.
Right.
Because then it's like, well, no, it's just... And it's like, that's
lists
different.
And I understand why they're popular, because they always get people talking, but I hate lists.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I hate them.
I think there's a good way to do them. I always liked, you know, when IGN, when I was working there, went back to the 20-point scale. So, you know, 7, 7, 5, 8, 8, right. 5. There's none of the, like, even, we're not going by tenths of the point or anything.
Right.
I loved that because I felt it took out... It left guesswork in there. It left a mystery in there of like, I think this game's an 8.5 and this game's an 8.5. And then you'd actually have an argument about which is better, right? Rather than how it is on most comment boards when people want to argue. Well, they gave, you know, Infamous... What did I... There was a time when I did it. Greg gave Infamous a 9. He gave Uncharted 2... No, yeah, I read Uncharted 2. He gave Uncharted 2 a 9.2 and gave Batman Arkham Asylum a 9.3 or whatever it was. It was something like that, which to me was very clearly, this is the order I think. And I've... probably fuck that order up, but you understand what I'm saying. I would have much rather been like, they're all nines. You know what I mean? These are, we have a bucket of 9 games that are like right. Awesome.
So what do you think of, as it applies to this specific case with Fortnite, where the game technically came out in 2017, but really kind of came of age in 2018?
I think it comes down to what your rubric is and how you want to define game of the year.
What do you want your rubric to be?
I don't know yet. I want to discuss it with them. I'm okay. Not, Kind of Funny is not just one man, Gary.
Well, no, but you must have your own opinion.
I think there's a compelling case to say that, but I still stand by what I loved about IGN Game of the Year, and when I would go into the IGN Game of the Year to vote, right, would be we are awarding one game of the year that says this is as good as video games got in year X.
Right.
That's how I defined voting, and it's why like I always talk about when I argued against Walking Dead, even though I loved Walking Dead season one and I cried during it and all that jazz, I'm just like... I don't want somebody to pick that game up in 3 years and be like, man, this thing runs like shit and this happened and blah, 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 and I ate my save. Like, I think that held it back from being the pinnacle of the best we could do is video games that year. Cause it is story and gameplay and graphics. And it's like this, you know, huge thing that this is the best thing we could make. I don't know.
I think that it's all going to be moot thanks to Red Dead anyway. That's going to save us a lot of trouble. But I do, you know, if you think about it, at the end of the year, when it's all said and done and we get to the December and people are doing their lists, we're going to be talking about what are the games that took up all the oxygen in 2018 that everyone was talking about, everyone was playing. It's going to be Fortnite and it's going to be Red Dead. So I think it's legitimate to consider it. Because again, these ongoing, again, we live in an age now where games don't come out on a cartridge and then remain static for their entire life. They change, they evolve, they grow, they get updated, they get patched. And sometimes that patch happens that makes the game come alive. Or again, something happens in the social cultural moment where people discover a game and it has that inflection point where it blows up. And the moment at which it blows up and truly, as I said, comes of age, you could argue that is good enough to say it is a game of that year. This was the game of the year. It's worthy to be in that conversation.
At kindoffunny.com/you're wrong, Cameron Abbott, friend of the show, pops up and says, Greg, you made the opposite argument against PUBG last year. I don't believe I did. I thought Andrea was the one who was very clear that PUBG should not be in the running for game of the year. And I was saying, no, it very much should be. It was the beta argument, too, that people were all bent out of shape about last year with PUBG, right?
I mean, it is the opposite argument saying that PUBG belonged. Oh, no, it's the same argument saying that PUBG. No,
it was a movement.
It was the opposite argument saying that PUBG shouldn't be considered until it's in 1.0, which didn't happen until
December.
But again, that still happened.
Sure.
I do think it's very restrictive. Again, the goalposts have moved. Games don't just get released in a finished box and then remain static. To say, well, it's January 1st to December 31st, I think is becoming outdated thinking, don't you think? The way that, because games don't exist that way anymore.
I still think there's a place for it if that's your rubric. If you're IGN and you're going to sit there and be like, the best game of the game of 2018, that is the game that came out and is the best of what we could do as an industry.
If you want to be able to codify your rules and say, okay, January 1st to December 31st, that's a very easy way to do it. If you're going to start saying, but when did the game truly come of age? That's a different argument. It's a much fuzzier. What does that mean, come of age? It's a much more difficult argument to make.
Yeah.
But I think we have to be having these conversations.
We do, goddammit, it's
games
important.
Games aren't as cooperative as they used to be in terms of... like I said, a finite static
putting
box.
Right into a box. Yeah. Mythical Jew writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Yes, longtime contributor to Kind of Funny.
Okay.
Says, with the release of the Mega Man X Legacy Collection 1 and 2, why do you think the second collection is getting poorer reviews? Yes, it has one of the worst games in the series in it, but shouldn't the review be about how it was remastered / how the whole product was released? It just seems like sins of the past are haunting the future. Should remaster collections be reviewed only on what is new, or should each of the games be reviewed again? It was great to see you guys at SDCC. I'm not familiar with what's happening inside of the Legacy Collections 1v2. I downloaded them on my Switch. They'll be my first time playing through them. I'm looking forward to it. But talking on Gamescast yesterday, I'm under the understanding after talking to Jared and Tim that, yeah, 2 has the PS2 one, which isn't that great or something to that effect. But that's that doesn't matter to this argument. Yes, it has one of the worst games in the series in it. That is why it's being reviewed lower. I don't think when you review a collection or a remaster, and this is more of a collection, that you're sitting there going like, well, I'm only here to see what do they add to this collection? What are the bells and whistles? Where are the behind the scenes videos?
You have to consider the underlying content, not just what was done to it.
Someone is jumping in there, yeah, and they're saying, hey, I've never played any of the Mega Man games before. I need to go in and say, what is good? What is bad? How does this work?
I mean, this is an extreme version of it. If it just so happens that all of the games on the second collection are terrible, it doesn't really matter how well the terrible games were remastered. It's still not going to be worthy of a great score, right?
Yeah.
Makes sense to me.
Makes sense to me, too. I think, sorry, Mythical Jew, you're not hitting on what you want to right there. Okay, where do I want to take? We're having good discussions here.
Yeah, I think so. I'm enjoying it.
Where do I want to take you here? There's a Fortnite question here. Me? It's not really about Fortnite, but I feel like everybody gets mad when we talk about
it. I'm tired of talking about it. I don't even play it.
Yeah, you should.
I get the problem that's happening. I think I saw this on Twitter recently. Somebody said on one of the other websites, we hear this all the time from people saying, oh my God, why do you constantly talk about Fortnite?
It was Pear, and they showed the metrics.
He posted, well, look, here are our traffic numbers. When we talk about Fortnite, make lots of money. So you've got to go where the money is.
I don't get paid more when you talk about Fortnite. I got two here I'm gonna do, all right?
Okay.
Relaxed writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, Shadow of the Tomb Raider has gone gold more than 7 weeks before its release. Wouldn't it be a smart move from Square Enix to release the game 2 weeks earlier to get it out before the fall madness begins? And would such a move even be possible?
As to possible, who knows? All I know is I would want as much separation from Red Dead as I can possibly get.
Yeah, and it's not
that
even...
that is going to just shit all over everything. Sorry.
I feel getting it into the hands of people as fast as possible benefits it across the board. I want to avoid Spider-Man, which is the week before.
I mean, going gold is one thing, but then you still got to manufacture all the discs, the boxes, the packaging, you got them into the warehouses. It might not be as simple as that.
From what I understand, and I have such a cursory knowledge of this. It's okay. You okay? Such a crystal knowledge of this. Most discs are being printed at the same kind of facilities.
The physical copy. I have no interest. Yeah. I would. You know what's interesting? I wonder if we could get to a point where it's kind of like what you have in movies now, where they drop it on digital before the disc shows up.
Sure.
I mean, they could drop this presumably very quickly digitally.
But see, okay, so now put a pin in that one for a second. So you have to get your game gold to get it to the manufacturer to get the discs made because you only have this window on the calendar to get your disc printed before they run over to printing Spider-Man or they run over to printing Game X, Game Y, so on and so forth. So that's part of the whole thing. And I don't think you can then rush it to retail. I mean, you could do crazy things like putting it out on digital first, but the problem there, right, pulling the pin out of your thought, is then you piss off Amazon and GameStop and Walmart, right?
Yeah.
Because you're giving an unfair thing.
But it's already happening in the movie world. They want to encourage you
The writing's on the wall.
Well, they're bringing the digital version of movies out first, often a couple of weeks ahead of time, because they want... I just saw, for some strange reason, somebody sent me a link. It was a preview of one of the Rogue One digital home movie trailers, and it said, on digital, March 24th, on Blu-ray and in stores, April 4th. So there was a 10-day gap between the two.
Yeah.
And I'm not an expert. I think the reason why they do that is because they make more money on the digital. They want to
buy
the digital.
Oh, yeah, they do.
You don't factor in the replication, the manufacturing, the physical media, the transport costs, retailing, restocking. It costs much less money just to put that thing up on a server for you to download. 100%. So they'd rather you buy that one, and they'll encourage you to do that by making it available first. So I think that it could be a trend that we see come into the video game space, which is digital first in retail stores maybe a week or two later.
I think as we get closer and closer to you know, as you're talking yesterday about the Xbox Scarlet and where we're at with game streaming and downloads and internet across the country, let alone the world, I think as that gets better and better, that future becomes more and more, right?
Because yeah, it is, I mean, like, discs are becoming, they're moribund, frankly, and becoming more so every day.
Yeah, and people are, there's always going to be an audience that wants games on discs and wants the physical media, but I think as we get more and some more comfortable with the ownership discs, of just
they
digital.
They want their shelves, they want to know that the game can't be taken away from them, although it still can be, you know, you put the disc in, but you're still connected to the internet, and the internet says, sorry, you can't play this disc anymore. They'll get you one way or another.
Oh, yeah, they'll get you.
You never really buy the game. You just buy a license to play it.
Right, right. Final question comes from Sleepless in Cleveland. No, not that one. Who wrote in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, Jean-Viev Miller, who I believe does PR work in games, has suggested that No Man's Sky has the greatest redemption story of her life. And she means when Jen tweeted last night that it's the craziest redemption story she's ever seen in her lifetime.
You mean in terms of the game?
Yeah.
Okay.
Once in a lifetime.
Has it been redeemed?
Redemption story. I believe so, yeah.
How so?
The fact that, I mean, you figure it was DOA on arrival, right? People wanted
it
to go.
It had a lot of problems.
Pitchforks and torches to Hello Games and take them down. And I was
but
like,
did something happen recently that has redeemed?
Oh, yeah, they just
released it. It's been more of a gradual process.
They put out updates here and there, but then this new update.
This new one fixes it.
Yeah, it's the one where it's like, it doesn't fix it. It just adds in the stuff more people wanted from this game.
You know what? This goes back to the conversation we were just having earlier.
Yeah.
And now that it's fixed.
Yep.
And let's say that it's a brilliant, amazing game of the year level game.
And it's also like almost a completely new game.
Do you throw that back into the pot?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it got released for the first time ever on Xbox One, so right there.
So Xbox, it's totally legit.
Right there, you have a game of the year contender.
Yeah. Anyways, I might actually play it now it's on Xbox One.
Okay, do it. Here we go, though. This is the question. Hello Games did this with relatively small amounts of communication and what I can only imagine was an unholy amount of work. Do you think this approach is as viable as massive PR pushes? Would you agree that talking to a game community is not necessarily as important as listening and creating content to enjoy? Thank you for reading, and I hope you all have a blessed day. Sleepless in Cleveland. No, not that one.
Well, it's a bit of both, isn't it? You want to communicate and talk, but you also want to listen. You need to do both.
Well, this is what I've been talking about when we talk about No Man's Sky and the update here, is the fact that they had all this hype going in. They did not live up to the hype at launch.
No, not because they overhyped it. They did not help themselves. They Molyneux'd it.
Everybody
they did
yes.
not help themselves.
Everyone flipped on them, right? Of this is like people like Kevin and I were like, this is a fun game, but it's not this thing. You know, everybody flipped of like, I want my money back, Steam refunds, all this jazz. And what Sean Murray and Hello Games did is go fucking radio silent.
Right.
Like they
went from one extreme to the other.
Exactly. And I remember when this happened and talking about this at the time, I was just like, I don't know if you can recover from this. How can you ever, as Hello Games, release another game, come out on another stage at E3 and be
brand.
Like, hey guys, yeah, no, I was like, they're kind of done. And what they did though, radio silent, head down, worked their asses off for 2 years and put out a bunch of other updates and would come out of hiding, and be like, hey, there's this new thing we're doing, we're putting this out there. Okay, cool, bye. Then this giant update they put out now that is like, hey, multiplayer, this, blah, blah, and everyone is excited. People are tweeting positively. Everyone, not everyone, lots of people are saying the same thing you're saying of like, now I'm going to go back and try it again.
So I kept a bit of an eye on it. I was interested at launch, but then again, the negative press kicked in almost right away and kept me away from it. I mean, I don't know if you saw that Jurassic Park video that got posted it was the combination of like what was shown
in the demos.
And it was like the Jurassic Park full orchestral version of the creatures kind of striding majestically across the plains. And then what you actually got, and it was the sad...
Like the sad trumpet version
of the trailer. Let me ask, so I've been keeping an eye on it, but I'm not an expert. Let me ask you this. Do you know, what is the fundamental thing that has been fixed that this update did that
suddenly
redeems it?
It adds online multiplayer. It's adding all the stuff that so many people wanted from the game. We've detailed it on the show
before. Should have been there in the first place.
Exactly,
really.
Exactly.
Is there an argument to be made that they should have just held it and released this, have this be 1.0? Or did they need to get it out there to keep themselves funded and going for 2 more years?
Great question. You know what I mean? No one really has the answer for that. Sean's starting to give interviews and talk about stuff like that. And, you know, he's put up a blog post talking about,
But this is relevant to my interests for sure, because I definitely had my eye on No Man's Sky. I mean, I used to love Elite and, you know, games that felt like they had vast galaxies to explore. I love the idea of living inside this vast universe. But there was just enough negative press to keep me away from it. It felt like a very lonely, sparsely populated, randomized kind of world. It didn't feel like a living world.
Yeah.
If that is now If you're now telling me that a lot of that's been fixed,
that's
maybe
what, that's
and
what it
saying
is.
It's on Xbox too. Maybe it now is my time.
And so that yes, I think, and that's what's happened. And they've turned that corner and changed the story on a game that I thought was DOA and a company that was fucked. They've come out and actually done it where now they can have that. They can do these interviews and these GDC speeches, and they can come out on an E3 stage again in a couple years and be like, "Hey, everybody, last time we were up here, we overpromised and we learned from that, and we eventually did it with No Man's Sky next."
Are there other examples of this? I mean, you can make the argument this that Fortnite vanilla was dying on its ass.
Sure.
Battle Royale saved it.
I've seen a lot of people pop up with different arguments. Fortnite being one of them, Rainbow Six Siege being one of them, Final Fantasy 14 being one of them.
Okay.
What I'm going to tell you, I don't agree. I agree. I've been talking about on this show that I think this is one of the craziest things I've ever seen in games. Because think of it this way. Fortnite, Rainbow Six.
Final Fantasy.
Thank you so much.
I do pay attention.
You're nailing it. All do have hype behind them when they get announced, when they do this. Fortnite was in development hell forever. There was that Game Awards trailer we didn't know anything for. Finally popped back up. It's this weird base building. Came out and everybody's like, no, not really for me, all right? Rainbow Six Siege was, we all played it in E3 and we're like, wow, this is a lot of fun. Came out and a majority of people were like, man, whatever. And then this community adopted to it. And then Final Fantasy came out, and it was, hey, we're an MMO. And everybody's like, okay, no, not really for me. And then bounce back. Final Fantasy 14 reboots itself, comes back, gets really people come in and play it, right? But again, if you're not an MMO fan or you're not a Final Fantasy fan, I don't think that one got outside of its normal little ballpark, its circle.
Right.
Siege, same thing of it came out not that great. I remember being like, oh, that game's kind of dead, huh? And then it'd be like, no, like there's a community for it. People are playing it.
Great. That happened on the DL. I was following Rainbow Six Siege, and every now and again I read a story about how it's got this massive, massive player base. It's like that happened on quietly.
Yeah.
Again, it's happening, but it feels like it's happening over here. It didn't become so, like, unlike Battle Royale, it didn't become so big that, like, you can't avoid it.
But in Fortnite, right, as we just talked about here or this week, it's the 1 year anniversary of Fortnite being released.
Mm-hmm.
And then we just talked about in here, September 26th, I think somebody, all right, here, somebody, September 26th, somebody said Battle Royale is when it came out to Fortnite, right?
Right.
So we're talking about a month of, oh man, people don't really care about this game. All right, we're going in there. That's not redemption in the same way this is. This is for two E3s.
No, they went away and
worked. We are on Sony's fucking stage. We are on Jimmy Fallon's stage. We are here saying this game's going to be amazing. It comes out. It is not what people thought it was going to be.
Do you remember?
And they are fucking trounced. They are run through the mud. They are destroyed. It is anarchy.
Yeah,
and they're
bad.
Like, fuck this game. It's toxic.
I remember very well. You may remember this as well. When he was on the guy, whoever the Hello Games guy is, was up
Sean
on
Murray.
Stage. And did what, it must have been a 5-minute demo, but it felt like half an hour. It was the most boring ass fucking demo that I'd ever, it was like, and now here's another empty planet and I'm going to go over here and do nothing.
Name it and scan this thing. It is.
So, when will this
end? But I mean, the hype for No Man's Sky was, there was so much more hype and eyes on this game than there were for Fortnite's launch, than there was for Siege, than there was for Final Fantasy.
But in all of the, I understand what you're saying. In Fortnite, it wasn't they just sat around and said, well, I guess nobody wants to play it, but then something happened outside of their ecosystem where, oh shit, so look at our user numbers just spiked. They went away and worked.
Yeah. Oh,
they earned that redemption.
Yeah.
But that also happened with Fortnite. With Rainbow Six, and we find, you said in each case the developers went back in.
I'm not taking away anything from the developers. No, they all. I mean, I think out of the three we just mentioned, right? Again, I don't think Fortnite is a redemption story. I don't think all eyes were on it. I don't think it was a Hail Mary that fucking.
No Man's Sky is because it wasn't just that the game was being ignored. It was like everyone was paying attention to it, but in a negative way. It was like this game was a Molyneux.
What? Exactly.
Clusterfuck.
It switched from.
Overpromised, underdelivered.
It switched from the tweets of, and articles and op eds of, I'm only going to play No Man's Sky the rest of my life, to what the fuck is this?
I remember the image of them holding up the gold disc. It's
yep.
gold.
Oh, yeah,
like,
yeah,
it's
yeah.
all ready. And people, considering people were so high, they so desperately wanted this game, they hyped it brilliantly.
Yeah.
The problem is they didn't have the game to back it up. The hype was great. The game was not. And you can imagine the atmosphere. This is why I think it is a good redemption story. Imagine the atmosphere. It's like the locker room at halftime. You're five goals down.
You
don't want to go out and play the second half, but you know what? We're going to go back out and play the second half.
Yeah.
And we're going to play five times better and we're going to score six goals.
And for 2 years they do this and continue. Yeah. 2 years of continually being the butt of every podcast
And
joke.
Seriously, I'm sure they bled some people and it was maybe not easy to hire there during that time. Oh, really? You're the guys that had that game that fell on its ass?
Dude, how hard is it for me to fucking come on a live show when somebody's mad at me on Twitter or Reddit or whatever for something stupid I've done or said or whatever?
Yeah.
Where they're mad at me for this and it's like an issue of, I don't want to deal with this. And then, like, to be these guys, this small team working on this giant game for 2 years of silence?
I've done it. I worked on a movie that was a massive flop critically and commercially.
Rogue One. No one liked it.
It is brutal.
Yeah.
To put your blood, sweat, and tears into something for two years or more and have it come out and people just go, eh. Or even worse, like, it's shit.
Yeah.
And you just want to go into a fucking corner and just turn off the lights and just like, you know, sure, shudder in sure. a fetal ball.
Yeah.
It's brutally hard. And it's hard just to get back on an even keel after a very public failure like
right.
that. To come back and say, no, we're going to come back and we're going to prove you wrong. We're going to we're not going to move on to the next thing. We're going to stay with this and make this good.
Yep.
If they have, in fact, done that, I applaud that.
And that's what it fantastic. Seems like they have outside
so
of the
I
know
issue. I'm going to give I'm going to go give them my cash. I'm going to go buy No Man's Sky on Xbox One. And
what
see
a good
if it,
guy Gary Whitt is. You know what I mean?
See if your wife is right, and this is, in fact,
the greatest
the redemption
story of
our her generation.
Time to squad up, Gary. This is where one of you writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Give me your name, username, platform of choice, and why you need help in a video game. I read it here. The best friends come and find you, and everybody plays games together. Today, Philip needs help on PlayStation 4. His username is witty_username44. That's witty_username44. Obviously, all one word there, except for the underscore, but you understand how it works. Hey, Greg! An esteemed co-host. That's you, Gary.
It's me. I'm esteemed.
I'm looking to squad up in Rainbow Six Siege. I've been playing for about a month after taking almost an entire year off. Parentheses, Fortnite really got its hooks in me. And want to get into some ranked play. My roommate also plays, so if anyone is looking for one or two above average players, hit me up. And Greg, don't forget to whisper sweet nothing in that chicken's ear before clucking it real good.
I should play some Rainbow Six Siege. It's been sitting on my hard drive forever, and
hit
I've not
up witty underscore username 44 on
yeah,
PlayStation. Then play
well, I've got it on PC, but
of course
I'll
you
find
do.
Someone
you
to play
dork,
with.
Can you pull yourself away from TurboTax to go play it?
One of these days, it's my life's mission to turn you around and get you playing some PC games.
I play
like a goddamn civilized human being.
I want to live in the mud in my cave and fucking play with my
savage
Switch.
Console savage.
We got a rotating segment for you. It's just called "Hey, this is a cool thing you should pay attention to." It's from Patrick, who wrote into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, "Hey, Greg and Gary, Able Gamers is often brought up on KFGD, so I thought I would let you guys and the audience know that about Easy Allies Game Day. They are doing a 24-hour live stream and collecting donations for Able Gamers until 9 p.m. tonight. It will probably be a fun stream and a cool way to support Able Gamers. Hope to see y'all in the chat. Love and respect, Patrick." If you were in there at like 11:05, I was in the chat saying, great job on this. Good job.
Where do you find that? There's no link.
Twitch.tv/EasyAllies.
All right, easy.
Yeah. No, this is a brilliant idea. This is something, of course, we talk about Able Gamers all the time here, Steven. When they announced the Xbox One controller, I was like, Steven, this is brilliant. I'd love to do a live stream.
Did you cover that yesterday? I'm sure you did, about how even the box is like super easy
no,
to open.
No, we didn't.
It was nice, though. Did
it's
you see
cool.
That?
Yeah. Like, and that was the thing, is like, I didn't feel like it was Roper Report worthy. It's a
it
cool
just makes
video.
Me wish the old packaging was like that. All
sure, it's just like
that easy
you pull little
open.
Things and switch
yeah,
it up.
Yeah, nice easy tabs and things.
But real quick, what I want to do is give Easy Allies a huge shout out, because when they announced the controller, I hit up Steven. I was like, this is amazing. I want to help you guys however you can. I would love to do a live stream where we raise money just so you can buy more of these to give
if
to
you
people.
Ever do anything that charitable or whatever to help Able Gamers or to increase accessibility in video games, yeah. I'll be there, because I think it's a great cause.
I want to do it, but now I've been beaten to the punch by Easy Allies. You know what I mean? So it's like, well, not even beaten to the punch. I said I wanted to do it, and then our schedule are crazy and I couldn't make it happen, but Easy Allies did. Everybody support Easy Allies. One day we will seemingly copy them and do
this. You should
this.
Do your own thing.
Yeah, but
only you can do it the way you would do it.
Exactly. A lot of nipples.
Yes. Extra nipples.
Gary, we ask everybody watching on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames to go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screwed up as we screwed up, so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames.
Yeah, what do we got? How do we
and,
do?
And listening on podcast services around the globe. Neo Aoshi gave us an update and said Sean Murray said about the save problem that the PC patch for the save issue is live. PlayStation 4 and Xbox patches are currently in certification, so that shouldn't
maybe I should wait for cert before I jump in on that Xbox
Version. Well, you're starting from scratch. I think you should be fine. It said it makes it sound like returning players, like your stuff gets lost.
Okay.
But look into it. Lord of Pwn says all Switch files get saved the internal flash memory, not on the game cartridges.
God damn it.
Oh, here we go. And then everybody's saying the same thing. I appreciate it. And do this, do that. Now here, hold, this is actually helpful. White Bishop says, I believe I've been saying Gita Jackson from Polygon's name is pronounced with a hard G as in Gary, not a soft G as in GIF. Somebody said a hard G, which is why I've been
A soft G would be GIF. A hard G would be GIF.
So how do I say this woman's name?
I don't know.
I
know how you say GIF.
Pronounced with a hard G as in Gary. So Gita.
Gita.
Not G. Gita.
Did you say Gita?
Gita, yeah.
I think
because when you're saying, when somebody tweeted me, you're like, oh, I think it's a hard G. I was like, oh, as in G. No.
No, a hard G is G. G. It makes a hard sound in your throat. G is kind of like softer coming off your palate.
All right, so it's Gita Jackson.
I mean, I don't know her, but that's...
That's what they say.
That sounds more correct.
I like her, and I followed her on Twitter, so I like her writing. She's doing great work.
Okay.
And then also he says, if I said Polygon, I meant Kotaku.
How do you pronounce GIF, by the way?
Oh, I say GIF.
Okay, good.
Yeah,
just checking.
I don't want this GIF garbage. Yeah, yeah. I don't care what the creator said.
You can go to hell.
Yeah, you know. Question for you, too.
Yeah.
You just did the whole thing of like pronunciation, you know, good and all this stuff. Was it a bitch when you had a kid teaching them to speak and read and all that jazz? That feels like a lot of work, and it seems like it's going to be annoying. Like, I don't even know how to explain somebody to read.
Are you planning?
I know everybody knows I'm going to have a kid or two one day with Jen.
Some kids.
Not anytime soon, you know what I mean? I got this Portillo to take care of. But I just mean, in general, is it difficult to teach kids to read?
No, I mean my kid's a genius. So
perfect, of course. Takes after dad.
She reads a sixth grade level. She's six, and she reads like a 12-year-old. She's amazing.
Does she want to be a writer like you when she grows up?
Yeah, she does.
Yeah, that's cool.
She wants to write TV shows with me.
A lot of people editorializing. A lot of people want to be jokesters in the "you're wrong" thing. You know what I mean? And I know. I've done it where I've done some where I've done this. Eric K referencing, I think. Kotaku might have tweeted out the video we put out today. That's an old kind of funny doodle of me saying I was going to quit my job to be a mariachi in No Man's Sky. We put that out and it looks like Kotaku might have picked it up. Kotaku's Twitter to see if that's correct.
Can you be a mariachi in No Man's Sky?
No, that was a joke. I was doing one of my stupid things. It's a doodle.
You made me want to play even more. Anything good? Or is it just a bunch of jokesters?
It's not a joke. It's just like, this doesn't really...
Nothing's that great.
And we're not wrong about that. I'm just going to keep moving. A lot of people, that's a misunderstanding of what I wanted, Ignacio.
I'm glad we didn't have the GIF conversation at the top of the show. Otherwise, that iPad would have melted.
Oh, my God, it would have blown up. You know what I mean? Kebab says, to expound, Mega Man X Legacy Collection has a Metacritic of 84, while 2 has a 61.
Okay.
For comparison, the PS4 version of 1 plus 2 has an 81. Okay.
All right.
It's almost like do you want to play those games? There you go.
Dead air.
Yeah, I know. I mean, what do you want me to do? People aren't being shortened. They aren't being right there. Here you go. Mr. Yasman 300 says Sean Murray showed No Man's Sky and Stephen Colbert, not Jimmy Fallon. That's what I'm looking for.
Okay.
Thank
all
you
right,
very
there
much.
You go. That's a nice little bit of pedantry. Just what we need.
Okay. And then I'll take this one. RoxJ93 finishes and says, hello, I believe you guys were wrong about Rainbow Six Siege. The game never sucked and it never got an update or a joke. What really happened was people saying, it's whatever, okay. And then saying, wait a minute, this game's actually really good. And then it picked up from there.
So it's just
not even a redemption story.
It just had its moment of, redemption, but it's not where like the developers went back in and fixed something. It just had its moment of discovery late.
Exactly. That's a good way. Moment of discovery.
Yeah.
That's better. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kinda Funny Games Daily. Remember, each and every weekday in a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show. KindaFunny.com/KFGD. You can watch us record it live on Twitch.tv/KindaFunnyGames. You can watch it later on YouTube.com/KindaFunnyGames. You can listen on podcast services around the globe. Tomorrow, Tim Geddes joins me to close out the week. But until then, it's been our pleasure to serve you.